80 million Americans own mutual funds, and the industry is in crisis this week. Initially, it looked like a few bad apples in some companies, but a scandal is spreading throughout the industry. The mutual fund company Strong Financial Corporation now says it will reimburse its investors for any losses they suffered as a result of improper trading by the company's chairman. New York's Attorney General is investigating whether certain trades by Chairman Richard Strong improperly benefited Mr. Strong and the people close to him. This is just the latest mutual fund company to come under suspicion recently. Here to explain what exactly is going on is Slate's Moneybox columnist, Dan Gross. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Karen.
Dan, tell us, what is happening now and how did this problem begin?
We should note that many of the charges are allegations at this point, but already several managers have been fired by the companies for which they work, and we've seen a few guilty pleas already. What we're learning about is that there were two different types of behavior going on at many mutual fund companies. One was called aftermarket trading, and that's where the markets would close at 4 o'clock, the mutual fund would then decide what all its assets were worth, and they would allow certain investors to come in after the market closed, when news had come out that might push up stocks the next day, and allow them to purchase the mutual fund at the prior price, and then trade it the next morning when the markets would open again. That is flat out illegal, and that's been going on at a few places. The second type of behavior is called market timing, and that involves funds that have a lot of assets overseas. So at 4 o'clock, when the late in the day in the U.S., the markets are doing well, but the European stocks in a fund's portfolio have closed several hours before, well, if you come in and buy that fund at the price it's showing, it's not accounting for what will likely be the rise in those European stocks the next day. So people jumping in and out can make quick profits. That practice is not illegal, but virtually all mutual funds say that they do not permit the practice and that they don't like it being done on their watch.
Now, if someone owns these shares, Dan, how's this kind of behavior hurting them?
With the aftermarket purchases, the funds are allowing new customers to come in and get a piece of the profits that rightly belong to the prior shareholders. With market timing, it's a slightly different dynamic. When you have someone coming in and making a trade, buying $50 million in a mutual fund one day and selling it the next, that imposes a lot of cost on the fund. Those costs come out of the total returns of shareholders.
And the news this week is that mutual managers were engaged in market timing in their own funds. Isn't that a betrayal of trust?
It's really an appalling betrayal of trust. This is what's been most distressing. At first, the scandals were that mutual fund managers would sort of strike deals with a hedge fund and say, if you put 50 to 100 million in one of our new funds and agree to park it there, we'll let you dart in and out of these other funds and make quick profits the way we won't let other people do. Mm. What's been revealed in the past week is that at places like Putnam and Strong, which are both highly regarded mutual fund companies with many, many billions in assets, the managers, the people who run these funds, were doing this for their own account, keeping the profits.
Well, that's a shareholder's worst nightmare, isn't it?
Well, it's not just that. It's the, you know, the notion that is sort of, you know, 401k nation, right? We're responsible for directing and monitoring our own savings plans increasingly. And the only way we can really do that is if we rely on professionals whose job and sworn duty is to look out for our best interests. And that's what the mutual fund world has been selling for, you know, that concept for 50, 60 years. And this, more than anything else, really undermines that.
What kind of recourse do outraged shareholders have then?
Well, some of them, at some of the places, they're going to try to go back and figure out how much it actually cost the shareholders and then reimburse them in some way. But, you know, in the end, the amounts may turn out to be comparatively small in the broad scheme of things, but it's more the concept and the idea that they're not running the mutual funds to make money for the sort of long-term small shareholders. They're running it to get revenues and pick up pennies here and there for favored clients and for themselves.
Slate's Moneybox columnist, Dan Gross. Dan, thanks very much.
Thank you.